We're going to talk right now to Professor John Soddo from UCC, who's worked with the Asthma Society. Good morning to you, Professor.
And good morning to you, Declan.
Nice to talk to you. So listen, here we are with this. We pay about 70% on this fuel anyway, with all our taxes, and we've our motor insurance and all that sort of stuff. And now they're going to screw us again with an increase in the price of fuel. That doesn't seem fair, does it?
Well, it may not be screwing, okay? We'll come to that afterwards. But, I mean, simply there are compelling health reasons why diesel prices should increase the pumps to at least the price of petrol. I mean, the World Health Organization classified diesel as a carcinogen a couple of years back. And there's a story today, this is not so important, of course, is that snoring increases for those who live near road transport.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
So that's trivial in comparison, first to the heart problems that really come about because of one of the emissions called nitrogen dioxide. It gets into our blood system. It causes irritation on the artery walls. That leads to plaque buildup and then stroke. And actually, it counts for 6,000 deaths in London alone every year. And there's a lot more of this gas that comes from diesel than petrol cars. But particles are important too, especially for asthmatics. And about 50 to 100 asthmatics die every year in Ireland because of attacks. And the new CEO of the Asthma Society, Avril Power, said that a week or two back. And there's been a very big study in the UK that's published only today that says there's about 1,000 in the UK that die with a very systematic study they had. I mean, in principle, well, we had the VW scandal earlier about the nitrogen oxides to sort of make out that they were producing less than they actually were, which is a problem. And diesel cars have filters fix them to eliminate small particles. But it's good if they're maintained. They're not always maintained, and there's no test on the NCT for small particles or nitrogen dioxide. So there is a problem. The screwing of the cost is something we can come on to next if you want.
Yeah, because looking at it, people were told it was better to have a diesel car than a petrol car. So people went for that. The emissions, on it, we were told, was much less, and therefore the road tax was going to be much less to encourage us to get a diesel. Now if we take it into the micro and we see a family who went because of that advice to get the family car, they are going to be hit with an increase in diesel. A tax is not... It's not going to do them any good. They still have to drive the car, yet they still have to pay the increased price. So it's not doing anything of benefit to them, really, because they stick with the car, but they have to pay more. Also, when we go shopping, all the goods that are in our supermarket and been delivered by diesel trucks, they will increase because of the extra levy on the haulage company. So it's not of benefit to the micro situation, even though I recognise what you're saying about the macro situation.
Well, the micro situation could be you or some member of your family dying because of cancer or a heart attack because of air pollution. So there is a micro problem. But the government knows it got it wrong. I mean, the UK government as well knows it got it wrong because there are two issues associated with burning carbon fossil fuel, if you like. The one is the health one that I've just talked about, really, but the other is climate change. And what happened is a number of years ago is that because diesel emits less greenhouse gas than petrol does, they decided to change the sort of the tax structure for diesels, making them cheaper. But the health side of it was not taken into account. Now, I think it was odd. Last week, I read that the reason for this 18 cent or so increase, I mean, the report I read said that it was being done for climate policy reasons. Now, there is a good climate policy reason, obviously, because we should stop burning all carbon fossil fuels. But they've had this in their mind for some time, and their idea that diesel gave out less carbon dioxide than petrol, mile for mile, was correct. But in the end, we know where we are with climate change at the moment, and it's not a good place at all. But if you really want problems to be stopped, we're going to have to do things like the Netherlands. And they're meeting currently, I think, to ban the sale of all petrol and diesel cars by 2025. Now, it may sound sort of very, very crazy and drastic to you, but the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change are meeting very soon to find out dates for banning all coal-burning coal power stations and halting the use of combustion engines within 15 years.
Yeah, but so that's a better idea, you see, because it's down the road and that puts pressure on the car companies in order to come up with an alternative. Whereas just lashing tax onto people who've already made a decision going on the advice they were given, it just increases their family bill every week.
Yes, but they may have an increased family bill or an increased nation bill because of the increase in the health services that we have to put in and the emotional costs that I was saying before because of having these cheaper types of.
But they're already paying a carbon tax on top of it, so that was the argument when that was introduced.
Well, the carbon tax isn't enough. There needs to be more carbon tax. And it needs to be predicated, in my view, is that the carbon tax does need to be able to be used to develop solar technology. I mean, for example, improve the health services. And again, going back to asthmatics in the report today, what it said is a lot of the problems to do with individuals managing and educating themselves about the regime that they should be in. So using that money, that extra money, for good purposes, seems to me to be the right thing to do. And really, what is the use of having money in your pocket if your country is underwater?
Okay, and 70% tax and duty excise already on it. And we pay VRT and we pay the interest motor insurance and the carbon tax. And you know, motorists can turn around and say, hold on a second, we're paying twice, three times, four times over for this. Why can't we ring-fence the money, the 70% tax that's on it, and do all these good deeds?
Well, let me connect back to one of your, I think your earliest headlines this morning was about the problem with insurance, of these prices going up with cars. Now, here's a solution, a potential solution. What you know I think is happening currently is that many insurance companies won't even insure a car that's more than 15 years old. Not all of them, but a lot of them. The reason for that is not to do with air pollution, although certainly diesel cars at that stage were not good. It was simply to do with maintenance, bald tires, more accidents. Now, if truly the insurance companies were to start banning insuring any diesel cars, then what might happen, because there'd be less deaths by air pollution, less problems with asthmatics, less accidents still maybe, is that the rest of us wouldn't have to pay so much because there wouldn't be so many accidents. So I believe the insurance companies have a responsibility here too, and I don't think that they should insure any diesel cars personally, although I know that that won't happen.
Right. Okay, very interesting. I'd love to have more time to talk to you about it. No doubt we will as we get closer to the budget, and hope that you're available. I appreciate your time this morning,
sure.
Professor
Thanks
John Soto. Thank
Goodbye.
You very much indeed.